Good afternoon, California comrades. This is Brad Maskey on Saturday, May the 14th, doing a special podcast about the California Voter's Guide. I wanted to do this on the show today, but you know what? With the time constraints of commercials and everything else and the confusion of our June primary, I thought it'd be better just do a separate podcast of what's going on in the Voter's Guide and how I would like to vote and how I think you should vote. Now, there are several races in which I don't think there's any right choice or wrong choice, but I just want to go through the Voter's Guide and the ballot for the San Joaquin Valley for California and tell you how I'm going to vote and why. So to do this, it required a little relaxation and an adult beverage. I chose a margarita with a good tequila to sit down and go through this complex voter's guide with so many people running and so little time to research all of it. And when I review the candidates, I'm looking for people who are conservative, Christian, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-business candidates. I mean, that's my category. I want them to be for small government and more private property rights. And I try to review the candidates based on that criteria. In several of the races, you can't find anything about the downstream candidates, the non-favorites, i.e. in California, the conservative Republicans. Many of them have put their name on the ballot and raised almost no money and have no chance, but I'll still talk about how I would vote and who I would vote for. And I'm going to start by just opening the California Voter's Guide and walking through it, and then going to the elections that are not in my district and telling you why and how I'm voting. So I'm not sure how long this is going to take, but I'm going to start by opening my sample ballot, my voter's guide, the official thing that came in the mail to me, County of Tulare Voter Information Guide and Sample Ballot. And again, there's two races in our ballot in the San Joaquin Valley and Tulare County that are different than you would have if you're in other areas of the San Joaquin Valley. As I've said in the past, the new districts that were drawn by the so-called Nonpartisan Citizens Commission on Voting Districts had one goal in mind for sure that they must do. They had to comply with state law, but they had to make sure that Devin Nunes was not reelected, that he was wiped out, and that his district was gone. And they did succeed in that. They fully wiped out the 22nd district, which was Devin Nunes' district. They took Kevin McCarthy's district and they wrapped it through Devin Nunes' district, gave a new district, which would be a Kevin McCarthy district that was a plus 25 almost in Republicans and conservatives to Democrats. And that gave Devin Nunes a choice. He'd either run against Kevin McCarthy, although he resigned well before the map was approved and went to work for Trump, or he could run in a district in which it was plus 14 or plus 16 for Democrats. So that's the 22nd district, and that's a special election for it's a runoff because we had the special election in April, and the two final candidates include Connie Conway, who want to fill that remaining term, which will go till January 3rd of next year. So Connie Conway is who I want for that. It's a good conservative district. It's not as conservative as the new district that McCarthy is going to be running in. But solidly, Devin has won that for years. And my choice for that will be for Devin Nunes. But there's another one that's a U.S. Senate that's on the ballot twice. And that's for California Senate. And remember that this is for the remaining term because Vice President Harris was our California senator and she got moved out. And so appointed to that position by Governor Nunes was Alex Padilla. And so Padilla got appointed to position, but then there has to be a full election for it in November. But in this election, in the June primary, you're voting to see who gets to sit as the U.S. Senator until, again, January 3rd of 2023. And I'm going to have the same choice for being the long-term six-year senator as I am going to have for that short-term one. And this is all over the state, by the way, not just to us. And that's Mark Muser. I know Mark personally. I support him. And I think he's a very odd duck. I mean, I would explain him that way. But he's a solid conservative, a smart guy, a good attorney, and someone that I think that we could choose. When he was running for Secretary of State, he rode his bicycle to every county in California, all 58 counties. He rode his bike. He competes in Ironmans. He's, again, an odd duck, but certainly I would much rather have Mark Muser, a solid Republican with good background, good conservative values, than I would have Alex Padilla. So for both choices, in the two votes you get to make, that's going to be a simple one. You're going to pick Mark Muser over Alex Padilla. So there, we're finished with all the easy stuff. Now I have to open this further. And as Rush Limbaugh would always do, you got to hear the rustling of papers. And I turn to the official ballot or the balota official. And we have the governor's race to start with. And I believe, honestly, that no Republican has any chance in Hades or hell, like the snowball, of beating Newsom. But still, we have to appoint the right person. We have to vote for the right person. The California Republican Party, in their meeting 2 weeks ago, voted to endorse a guy by the name of Dahle. It's not spelled Dahle. It's D-A-H-L-E, but his name is Dahle. And they voted to endorse him. And I'm not against Brian Dahle, but how he got that endorsement is why we all hate politics. So his wife was running for assembly. She had a big amount of cash in her account. She gave $40,000 to the California GOP about 4 or 5 days before our convention in Anaheim. And that was able to move 400 proxies to Dahle so that they would endorse Dahle as the Republican choice for governor. But I was there. I was there and I got to meet Brian Dahle. I also got to meet a guy named Anthony Tramino. And I have to tell you that Anthony Tramino is 10 times the campaigner, 10 times the conservative as the established money man, Brian Dahle. I mean, and he has a chance of getting the Republican name out there in a way different than saying this is the same person. And so based on that, I would say you pick Anthony Tramino for governor. I know there's a whole bunch of names there, who's good, who's bad, and I'll go against the Republican Party, and I will do that often. And you can vote for whoever you want, because I doubt it will matter. Remember that the top two vote-getters go to the final, and that's where the vote takes place in November. But I like Anthony Tramino. I think he has a good campaign going. I think that he will at least, you know, put a name out there. And he'll put a name out there that says Republicans aren't just these conservative, rich, white people. And I'd like to see him be the one that becomes number two. You know, again, he doesn't have the money. He didn't get the endorsement. He wasn't able to give $40,000 to California GOP, but that's my choice for governor. The second one we have to pick is lieutenant governor. Everybody knows that lieutenant governor in California does almost nothing. I know, they have almost no power, and there's two Republicans running for the seat. One is Angela Underwood, and the other one is David Fennell. David Fennell has a relatively light resume. I'm kidding. He's the only one that has a resume, and I still don't like him. I'm sorry. He's Bay Area. He's a Bay Area entrepreneur. He's very well connected in foreign policy. He's very well connected in foreign dealings and relations, but for some reason I can't find any conservative Christian background in him, and that's what I'm looking for, some conservative values. He's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur, he says a lot of the right things, and again, this is a do-nothing, mean-nothing position, but I'm not going to go with David just because. Angela Jacobs, who's running, who's raised almost no money. And again, this is a position that means nothing. She says the right things. She's pro-life. She's a Christian, and I'm going to say, in a position that makes no difference, still, they do control the California Economic Development Committee, which hasn't met for 10 years, supposed to set our economic policy. And you know that as long as we're socialist-controlled by the Democrat Party, it won't matter what they say. But I would choose Angela over, I would choose David Fennell. See, it's about good thing I have an adult beverage in my hand, because I can already mispronounce the words before I've even started. Turning the page, we come to Secretary of State. So again, for Secretary of State, this is the person that controls our elections. This is the person that says whether ballots are good or not. This is the one that sets the rules for our elections. And I've told a story about how when Alex Padilla was Secretary of State, how he cheated in the elections, how he extended the time to bring in votes, how he allowed harvested ballots to come in for more than a week after the election was over in 2018. This set the stage for Democrats to know how to use mail-in ballots and how to stuff ballot boxes when you were allowed unlimited amount of time to bring in ballots or to get as many ballots as you want. And there's a couple of people on there, but the one that I want is Rachel Hamm. Rachel Hamm runs completely on the thing that we have to clean up our elections. She is a conservative Christian. She says that she's an author, but she is. She's an author about how about a book that she wrote of her life, about how she had a bad experience with church. It made her distrust religion and Christians, and how she overcame that to become a strong Christian and a strong believer in God and a strong believer in pro-life choices and a strong believer in positive things. So it says on the thing that she's an author, but truly she's way more than that. She's a children's youth minister, and she is my choice for Secretary of State. Again, if California Republicans have any chance, that is who I would choose for that position. Next on my list is the controller, California controller. And this is the person that actually controls the budget and says what could be spent, where it can be spent, and how it can be spent. And again, there's a strong conservative Republican on that. His name is Lonnie Chen, and he's Taiwanese-American. He's with the Hoover Institute. He's an economist. He's very smart. He's very conservative. Excellent economist. I mean, this guy is just absolutely good. While he's running for this seat, he stepped down from the Hoover Institute, but far and away, the one we want is Lonnie Chen, even though he may not be endorsed by the Republican Party because he didn't appear to do that or ask for that endorsement because he didn't think it would help. Truly think that that's who you need to pick for that seat. Next on our list is treasurer. And our current treasurer is Fiona Ma. She's involved in a lot of controversies. She's passed money off to friends, especially during the COVID. She'll be reelected, I'm sure, with her massive amount of money. And there's nobody really running against her. But if I have to pick anyone, I'll pick Andrew Doe, which is D-O. Maybe he pronounces it Do, but I bet it's Doe. And he's the only one that's raised any money. It's all from his family and his businesses. So he could put anything out there. And, of course, he doesn't have a chance, but he might get into the runoff, and then maybe he'll raise money. But that's who I would pick is Andrew. Next up is the Attorney General's race. And the Attorney General's race in California is very interesting because we have a really good candidate. Her name is Anna Marie Schuber, but she decided she couldn't get elected as a Republican in California, so 4 years ago she went to decline to state. When she went to decline to state, I don't know, kind of disqualified her in my mind. She's currently the district attorney in Sacramento. She's pretty tough on crime. She's pretty good on most of the issues, but there's one candidate who's head and tails above them all, and his name is Eric Early. Surprisingly, the Republican Party did not endorse Eric Early. He probably didn't ask for their endorsement for it, but he is a strong candidate. He's raising money. But I have to tell you, this is one of the more interesting things about this election, is that Eric Early is raising money to run against Rob Bonta. If you listen to ads that are on radio and TV right now, they're ads talking about Eric Early and about his strong conservative chops. And they're supported by Rob Bonta. He's the one paying for the Eric Early ads right now. So what does that tell you? He believes that Eric Early is so conservative that if he supports Eric Early, that Eric Early and Rob Bonta will be the finalists in the election, as opposed to running against Anna Marie Schuber, who he's really afraid of. And again, I said I think she's probably a pretty strong candidate. But Bonta believes that Eric Early can't beat him because he's too conservative for California. He believes too much in keeping criminals in jail and all of those things that most of us believe in, that you should be prosecuted for the crime you did and so on. Whereas he thinks maybe Anna Marie Schuber, who has softened her image and said, "I'm not a Republican," and it would be a tougher candidate. And again, folks, I think either of them, if they end up as the finalists, are way better than Rob Bonta. He is a George Soros candidate for Attorney General, and he is a guy that we need to get out. Okay, still going through this sample ballot. Next, I have Insurance Commissioner. And I have to tell you flat out, I don't have any choice for that. I don't think there's one person on there that would do anything to change what's going on. Our current insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara, took over from a Republican like 4 or 5 or 6 years ago. And as soon as he was elected, he celebrated, saying he was the first gay man to be appointed to high office in California. And again, he believes in the socialist liberal policy that government could do it better. Government should provide the insurance for everyone. You shouldn't have individual companies. They're greedy. They're evil. But I don't see anybody on the list, and I've researched them, not one of them that I think is any better or any different or not paid for and bought and will make any change. I mean, one of them says he'll fight to make sure that the fire-prone areas get better insurance and all of those things. Nobody's raised any money except the existing insurance commissioner and a Democrat opponent. So I'm going to just have to say, folks, flip a coin, pick whoever you want. I'm not going to pick anybody for that seat. For the State Board of Equalization, and my district, which is District 1, it's Ted Gaines, and I support him 100%. I mean, he is sitting on it now. Again, he's outvoted by Democrats, so whenever they make decisions related to taxation, gas taxes increasing, everything else, he's outvoted. But Ted Gaines is a solid, solid conservative. He's been on there. He's been outvoted and outvoted and outvoted, and we'll pick him again, and he'll probably be reelected against the people who are not on that. So you might actually get one, even though he's still just one of many. Next up on my official sample ballot is United States Senator for California. Again, we've already talked about this. This is the official 6-year race. Mark Muser is who I would like you to pick. He's also been endorsed by the Republican Party, and I agree with him. He's running against Alex Padilla, and I do support Mark against Alex. Again, Alex is our sitting senator, appointed when Harris stepped out. Kamala Harris stepped out because she was vice president. And so this is for the 6-year term. Then there's a second vote for the same office, and that's just to fill out the remainder of the term, which is until January 3rd of 2023. Again, Mark Muser. So you guys see why you have to have a cocktail to sit down and read this and figure out who you're going to pick? So I'll go to next, our local United States representative. I'm now in District 20. I used to be in District 22. District 22 was Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes is a friend of mine. I've known him for over 20 years. He's a patriot. He's a good man. But I'm now in Kevin McCarthy's district. Kevin McCarthy is a politician. He's a dyed-in-the-wool politician. He's a conservative, but he is a politician. He's been bought and paid for as a politician. He will become Speaker of the House, I am certain. I don't love Kevin McCarthy. I respect that he's had to make decisions that I would never have to make, and I don't necessarily agree with all of them. He says things behind closed doors that are different than what he says in public. He's an amazing public speaker. He's been endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's in a district that's plus 25, and I want him in office. I just feel like he's a little piece of the swamp, if you don't understand that, you do. And it's scary, but he is our piece of the swamp. And if we tell him to, he will fight for us, and we need him to fight for us. But we need him to really fight this time, so Kevin McCarthy is my choice. This is on my sample ballot. We'll go back to some of the other votes, again, in the San Joaquin Valley in my district that I think are important, but I'm just reading my sample ballot. My next vote is for Representative Congress. This is for District 22. Again, Devin Nunes' seat. Connie Conway's running against a Democrat, Lauren Hubbard. I want Connie Conway for that. Connie will fill in until January 3rd. She'll help run the district offices. She'll help you with your issues, with your VA issues, with your issues with getting passports, with those kinds of things. Right now, they're basically run by Nancy Pelosi, and so we do need Connie in there as fast as possible. Vote for Connie. I support her 100%. Next up on my ballot is State Senator. I'm in District 12. We have a Democrat, and we have Shannon Grove. I've known Shannon Grove for 15 years. Again, good person, solid conservative, supports all the values that we believe in. It's an easy vote, Shannon Grove. For the state assembly in my district, there's only one candidate on the ballot, Vince Fong. He is, again, a good conservative. Nobody ran against him. Then we come into the interesting race, which is the superintendent of public instruction. And again, for California, look at what they're doing to our schools. They're trying to stop the charter schools. They're trying to control the charter schools. The teacher unions own our superintendent of public instruction. The things they're doing are absolutely insane. Critical race theory, you know the list. You know the things you don't want taught. You don't want the sexualization of your kids. So it's really interesting. I asked my son, who is a teacher, I said, who do you think you would support? And he told me Joseph Campbell is who he's thinking of. Joseph Campbell is an author, does Montessori books and so on. And Montessori is a good charter school, and he's in favor of more charter schools. But then I read what his three primary goals are if he is elected as superintendent of public instruction. And number three is reparations for African Americans. That's his number third most important thing that he thinks you must do, is get reparations for African Americans. He's out. Jim Gibson, solid conservative, in favor of changing the schools, hearing the parents. He's the guy that you would want on your local school board. He's the guy that you want. Jim Gibson is who we want for that position. Remember that Tony Thurman, who is in there right now, is deep in the pocket of the unions. He's as bad as could be. And he's raised millions of dollars because the teachers' unions are going to hold him there because he owes them and they own him. But still, vote for Jim Gibson and let's give this guy a chance. All of the rest of my local elections are only the sitting people are in it, the ones that are current. Well, actually, one is Tara Freitas, who's running for assessor and recorder, and she has been appointed, but all the rest of mine, Tim Ward for district attorney, Mike Bordeaux for sheriff, Cass Cook for tax collector. I love them, and they're running unopposed. So those are easy votes for me. So I hope I've helped you with some of the tougher stuff that's in my district. So let me take a sip of my adult beverage. And I'm going to kind of try to wrap this up in the next 3 or 4 minutes and talk about a few other things that are in our district that are important. So in Valdeo's seat, Valdeo is now in District 22. This is for Congress, for U.S. Congress, used to be known as the seat, but it's completely redrawn. It doesn't in any way look like the seat that Nunes had. It's plus 14, 15, or 16 Democrat-based, and I believe that Nunes knew the writing was on the wall. He didn't have a chance, even with $11 million, that he could win that seat, or I'll talk about another one in a second, but that seat. But who's running for that seat, which used to be his, is Valdeo. And so it's completely moved. It's a piece of Nunes's seat and so on. But I think that Nunes knew he wouldn't run for that seat. But there's one other person running against Valdeo, a solid Fresno-based Chris Matisse, who I like a lot. And like all of you, Valdeo voted right 96% of the time. But then Valdeo wanted to impeach Trump, and he made some comments that I think are just, you know, in 2016, I helped campaign for Valdeo, helped him to run for office, and he said that he would support Trump, and he didn't like him, but he would support him. And then in 2018, again, where we really had a battle. 2016, he lost. 2018, we battled for him, and we fought to get him back in. And he said he'd changed his mind. Trump was good. He'd fight for Trump, and then he voted to impeach him. So I'm not voting for Valdeo, and I can't. He's not in my district. I'd vote for Chris Matisse. It's going to be the top two running against Rudy Salas, who is a hard left Democrat, in a plus 16 Democrat seat. But I'm not supporting Valdeo. And we called him the Portuguese Connection. He was part of the group here that would vote to support water rights and those things. But I'm sorry, Valdeo. You knew you made a mistake. And it's time to say adios. Hasta la vista. Hasta la vista. See, I need to take another sip of that adult drink so I can speak. Hasta la vista, Valdeo. I know that's not Portuguese, but still, I want him gone. There's another new district, which is Jim Costa's district, which has been redrawn. And this is the district that Devin might have run in, Devin Nunes, if he were to run. And there are two fantastic Republican candidates for that congressional district. I mean fantastic. These two guys, Michael Mayer and Matt Stoll, are heads above Jim Costa. They're both veterans. They're both active. Matt Stoll is a businessman locally in Visalia, entrepreneur, has a real estate broker's license, does some property management. Michael Mayer, he works for the government since his retirement from the government. These guys are the people, when you see them, listen to them, talk to them, they're who you'd want for your congressman. Either one of them is so strong and so good that you would say, wow, why can't we have them versus Jim Costa? Well, I can tell you for one thing, people like the California Association of Realtors will give maximum contribution to Jim Costa because he votes yes on all of our issues, and that's all that's important to them. And Jim Costa has that district, and it's 14% plus Democrat, but the top two are going to go into a runoff. So if the top two are going to go into a runoff, the next thing I had to look at, and I'm telling you, I wish that Michael Mayer was running in a different district. I wish that they weren't running against each other, because these are two of the strongest candidates I have seen. The Republican, the best of the best. But Matt Stoll has outraised Michael Mayer in money. Mayer. Michael Mayer in money, probably 3 or 4 to 1. Telling me that we should throw our vote to Matt Stoll, and then when he runs against Jim Costa, let's everybody get behind him and see if we can't take this guy out. And then finally, he's not in my district, although my wife is what we call his ex officio, meaning that she gives the reports. for him at all meetings and were delegates for him in the Republican Party in the votes. That's Devin Mathis. And he's now in District 33, which represents part of Visalia. Again, in this redistricting, they wiped out the Central Valley. They wiped out our ability to have a vote. They tried to tear us to pieces in their effort to get rid of Devin Nunes. They made us feel like we don't count. Remember, we're the third world country. We're the ones with the most people on welfare, or the people with the farm workers, where the illegal immigrants come. I'm sorry, I don't know what they called them. No, I don't know what the proper wording is. But Devin Mathis is for State Assembly in District 33. He's running versus Jose Segala, who is head of SEIU in Tulare County, who is supported highly by the unions, who is a hard campaigner, who is 100% far left. Everything you don't like about the left is Jose Segala. So you can't pick him. Devin's district turned probably more Democrat than conservative. He's an incumbent. He has a better chance. But certainly we don't want Jose. And then we have Ruben Macareno, who is a city councilman from Farmersville. Again, these are socialist leftists he's running against. And I say you must support Devin Mathis if he's in your district. I'm not going into the Fresno districts, the Clovis districts, the rest of it. But that's my read on the voter's guide, how I'm going to vote. And I couldn't do this on air because I've already been on air for more than 31 minutes and probably driven you crazy. So I'm going to give a final summary checklist of who I'm going to vote for. And if you want to listen to just the very end of this, to repeat it, it'll be at about 32 minutes. For Governor, Anthony Tramino. Lieutenant Governor, Angela Jacobs. Secretary of State, Rachel Hamm. Controller, Lonnie Chin. Treasurer, Andrew Doe. Attorney General, Eric Early. Insurance Commissioner, Flip Coin. State Board of Equalization, District 1, Ted Gaines. United States Senator, full term, partial term, Mark Muser. United States Representative, District 20, Kevin McCarthy. For District 21, Matt Stoll. District 22, Chris Matisse. State Senate, District 12, Shannon Grove. For Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jim Gibson. Okay, so now I need another drink of my adult beverage. This is Brad Maskey. This is Real Talk. It's a special edition that if you want to listen to, you can. So I gave you the summary at the end. My wife says I now need to copy that, reinsert it at the beginning, somewhere in the first 3 or 4 minutes, in case people don't want to listen to 35 minutes of me rambling on. But actually, it's not 35 minutes. I'm going to finish in under 34. And I just want to say happy Sabbath to all of you Sabbath keepers on Saturday, and that we need to elect conservatives to every position, people who believe in the things we believe in. And I haven't given up on California. I love it. But I know that God has a plan, and his plan is not our plan, and I trust in him. Thanks for listening.